broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Bill Hendry.
It's really disappointing that they're not going to preserve all of our rights. However, that's not going to stop us from fighting.
Senator Burris proclaimed at the hearing before...
Is there a better way, and some people have suggested, looking into a system of legalization?
I've read roughly about 30 of these opinions. She is a much larger library.
I'm Elizabeth Dole, and I approve this message.
She's gay and everything.
World famous Phil Hendry Show to 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the only news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch on this show, and we try to squeeze a couple of laughs out of the process. Boy, we've been going on and on here tonight about the gay marriage and gay rights, and it's all gay, man, and it's all gay all the time. Now, I understand we got David Hall is hanging on the line here, who is our vice president of syndication. We're going to be talking with him here in just a moment. I want to mention to you that we have a website you can visit, and that is www.philhendryshow.com. You can Twitter at twitter.com/realphilhendry. Follow along with us. Become one of our followers. Doesn't mean that you're a mindless follower, you know.
Yeah, well, I mean, you have to do what we say.
You don't have to do what we say. That's not what that means. It means they're just following our show.
If you're a follower, you got to do what we tell you to do.
They don't have to do what I tell them to do. What am I going to tell them to do?
You can tell them to go get stuff for us and everything. If you had the, you know, if you had a pair, but
why don't you knock it off if I had a pair? If you're following us on Twitter, that means you got to do what we tell you to do, according to Bud. Okay, let's go over here to David G. Hall, Vice President of Syndication, on the line with us now from San Marino. David, how are you this evening?
Well, I'm doing all right. I'm listening to the program this evening, and I have been hearing, as you mentioned, quite a bit talked about. You're going down the a gay road, and I've got. I tell everybody they have every right. You own your own radio show. I'm just a hired gun to try to get it syndicated. But when you take the gay road, as you've been doing tonight, I think you jeopardize some relationships. Now, I know that gays understand what I'm saying.
What do you mean, when I take the gay road?
When you take gay... In the advertising business, we talk to a lot of advertisers every day trying to get them to... You know, advertise on your show, and we gotta do a lot of work. As you would, I mean, I gotta go out on a limb.
What does that mean? What do you gotta do to get people to advertise on my show?
I gotta make friends with a lot of people. I go out on a limb. I stick my neck out. And when you take Gay Highway 101, as that's what we call it in the advertising business. You remember when Dr. Laura got in all that problem?
Yeah, I remember that, but she was bashing him. She was saying bad things about him.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. What I'm trying, I told you then, I'm telling you now. When you get on the on-ramp of Gay Road, when you get on US Gay 101, and that's what they call the advertising. I'm not trying to be smart.
Well, I'm going to ask you something, man. They actually say that in the advertising business?
What?
When you get on US Gay 101?
No, they say when you get on when you get on Gay Highway 101.
That's what I said.
No, you said when you get on Highway Gay 101.
It doesn't matter, man. What is that how you guys talk about it?
I'm saying, Phil, we've got advertisers that get uncomfortable if you move over into the fourth lane of Highway Gay 101.
And boy, you got yourself a real little bit of metaphor here. When I move over to lane four of Gay Highway 101, is there another lane I can be in?
The point that I'm making is they get nervous. You understand? Nervous. The advertisers, if you're going too far, and I don't want to talk about this on the air, but Bud said that you wanted to talk to me. And
I didn't see. He said that you called.
I said I wanted to talk to you off the air, yeah.
Why didn't you tell me this was off the air?
Yeah, I said you should go on the air about the Highway 101.
Daniel, you made that call, huh?
Well, Bud made a call. That's all right. That's why he's your producer.
Well, he's not my producer. He's an intern, all right? And the fact is that we're talking about this because it's relevant in the news.
I know it's relevant in the news, but what I'm asking you is what we bring this new account on, which is starting next week, Himmler Mufflers, and we want you to, if you got to talk about it, Phil, we ask you to talk about it in ways that won't frighten these guys.
What is the name of it again?
What is what?
What's the name of the advertiser?
Himmler Mufflers. And... The reason that they've asked it.
Himmler Mufflers.
I understand it's the family name. You want to draw a connection, don't you? That's what they're trying to get away from. They're trying to give the family name class. Himmler Mufflers. It's got nothing to do with Nazis.
All right. I mean, it just seems a little weird that Himmler Mufflers, they don't want me talking about. How about Jews?
Don't go. That's unfair, Phil. Absolutely unfair for you to say that. For you to say they don't want you to talk about Jews or gays. I'm saying to you that I'd rather you, as long as they're in the middle of their run, that you not talk about them.
Jews and gays.
In the middle of the advertising. It's only a one-week run. It's a test run.
Well, I'll tell you what, if it's a test run, they're going to be here for long. Himmler Mufflers. And they're going to be on the air for what?
For a week. They're currently running a special price. I told you about the Octune. We'll Octune your car, right? Did I tell you that?
David, these people are shucking and jiving you.
Their money's green, friend, and it spends. Oh, yeah. Don't worry about that. And as long as we bring them on board.
Octune your muffler, huh?
No. No, not Octune your muffler. Octune your engine.
The point is that they're using all kinds of symbolism and reference having to do with Nazis. They don't want me talking about gays. They don't want me talking about Jews.
No, they didn't say that. I'm saying it. Because I'm making the obvious, you know, naturally I assume that...
You cannot direct the content of this show based upon an advertiser. It just cannot work that way. Anybody that advertises in talk radio understands it's a controversial medium. There's people that are going to get angry. There's people that are going to be upset. There's always going to be somebody someplace who's, you know, not digging what you're saying. The advertisers we have on our show understand that until we got this Himmler Mufflers. Now, all of a sudden, they're worried about what I'm saying.
I don't know whether they're worried. I'm saying to you, having spoken to them and having been to their home and seen some of the, you know, their how they live, I think it would be better, that's all.
I'm looking at the piece of ad copy that Bud just gave me here. Is this it?
Yeah, right here.
They got a Blitzkrieg special, Octune your engine. Don't talk about Jews.
That's me, I said.
All right, don't talk about gays or Jews according to you. David, I can't make that promise.
Okay, thanks. Thank you very much. I don't need to eat. That's all right. I don't need to eat at all.
You're not going to starve, man, if you lose this one account, are you?
All of a sudden, what are you? Are you my doctor?
Are you going to starve if you lose this one account?
Are you a doctor? Are you my nutritionist? Are you my nutritionist? Or are you one of these herbal guys that maybe I can live on air? Well, let's try that. Hey, we're going to live on air.
I'm saying if you are if you're in the account executive part of the talk radio business, you understand that when you sign an advertiser to advertise on a talk show, they are signing on to be advertisers of a controversial and purposefully explosive format. It's what gets people to listen to it.
You know something? Hold on for a minute. Let me just...
Hey. Oh, brother.
There, you happy? I just gave you the big standing. Wasn't that beautiful? What'd you think of that, Bud?
Yeah, very motivational.
Yeah, that's great. But I still, see, I got this one problem. I still need to eat. So you can give speeches and...
All right, tell you what you should do, man. If you don't want to work for me, you can work for somebody else who soft pedals it, who makes everything just a beautiful thing, who kisses all kinds of ass, doesn't care what the audience, whether they're getting anything out of it. He's just going to be there for the advertiser and the advertiser alone. And the next thing you know, what do we got? You don't have radio. You have a jukebox of commercials.
One more.
Yay.
What is the sarcasm?
What are you giving me a speech? You're giving me a speech. You don't like Himmler Mufflers. You sound like Adolf there in the middle of the rally. It's, yeah, very. And another thing about advertising. See, all I want to say to you is you can do anything you want, Phil. Anything you want. But I feel weak right now. And you know why I feel weak?
You're going to tell me you haven't eaten?
I've eaten, but I'm anticipating not eating, and that makes me feel I'm feeling weak thinking about it.
Yes, blood sugar is dropping, worrying about whether he's going to eat.
Yes.
Because... See you later, man.
Uh-oh, you hung up on Mr. Hall.
How much of that do you think I'm going to be listening to? Himmler Mufflers, huh?
Yeah. Octune your engine for 19...
I can read, okay, bud? I can read. All right, coming up here on a world-famous Phil Henry show, well, I guess that's one advertiser. I have to bypass their money. A mother pays the price for thinking that you can pray away diabetes. We're going to also get into the story of the chemo kid. Scientology is going on trial. See, there's a lot going on here. You know, religion is under a microscope these days. It doesn't mean that people want to outlaw religion, but what we would like to ask is that if people are practicing their religion, they're not endangering the safety of others if it's all the same to them. 1-800-449-8255, Phil Henry Show. Brought to you by Himmler Mufflers. There.
That's all I ask.
Phil Henry. World famous Phil Henry Show.
877-876 Phil. I get going so fast, I've been told tonight that I've given the phone number, I've given the partial new number and the partial old number, that I'm giving only one part of the phone number, that I start out with 877 and then I get sidetracked and I start talking about our website, that I'm doing everything but giving a complete, full, and clear, and cogent, and, you know, audible phone number, 877-877. What are you doing, man? That's why I can't give a fuck. What do you mean, a bug? 877-876-PHIL.
The fly.
I don't need you in here swatting flies, man. You know what? We'd get rid of the flies if you took a shower. Hey. Smoked, man.
No.
Smoked.
No.
No. Yeah. What? Fail?
Epic.
All right. Here is a phone call, and we'll get into this lady who tried to pray away the diabetes for her daughter, and it didn't work. Here is Seth listening to us tonight in Nashville. Seth, what's on your mind tonight?
Well, I was actually just thinking about what you were saying about all the whole gay rights thing and everything. And, you know, I really can't argue against what you have to say. You know, they are humans. They are American citizens. They have rights and everything. It's just this whole Prop 8 thing. It just seems like everything that we try to vote for and do legally, that there's something, either whether it's from the bench or from some other constituency, that's a minority, which is against what everything this democracy seems to be voting for, they try to put down. And we have to understand.
Well, no, wait. I don't. In the case of the California bench, I think you're being unfair. The California bench today ruled in favor of Prop 8. They said it is a constitutional amendment, and you can't change it.
Absolutely.
And remember, and one other thing, Seth, remember that's the same court that a year ago said that it was unconstitutional, according to the California Constitution, to deny those rights. So they're looking at the law, and they're doing what they should do as judges.
Exactly. And I guess what I want to do is I want to come on the air, you know, officially as an opponent against gay marriage, and I want to say that not everybody that opposes this stance, you know, we're not one of these rednecks that are out there saying, oh, you're gay, so F you. You know, we want to say that, you know, the majority of the people feel this way, and we just want to follow the law. That's all we want to do. And I feel really bad.
Well, if you want to follow the law, if you want to follow the law, what happens when, if and when, and I believe it's a when, but the federal Supreme Court, the Supreme Court of the United States of America, the biggie, the last court, rules that gay marriage is a constitutional right. Will you adhere to that? Will you say, all right, cool? I mean, what will you say?
Well, you know, we would, except for the fact that it depends.
You're speaking for a lot of people. Just speak for yourself. You would personally?
Listen, I'm the kind of guy that says what our government says is legal, that's what I go by. I was not for the tax break. I was not for the billions of dollars that Bush spent and then that Obama followed up for. Just like I'm not for the whole standing by the bench, and again, you already specified that the gay rights is, you know, the whole gay marriage thing was put down by even the Supreme Court of California.
Yes.
It's just I want people out there to know that not everybody out there that has the same opinion as me is out there calling all the homosexual marriage rights people, you know, queers and everything else under the, you know, do you understand what I'm saying?
I totally appreciate what you're saying. You don't have any hatred in your heart. You have a
set of beliefs.
Yeah, you have a set of beliefs that that personally I would say are misguided, but nonetheless, I know you're not a hateful man. That's the point you're trying to make, and I understand, and I believe you. Absolutely.
That's just it.
I do.
And I think, unfortunately, what people try to get across is that, you know, the Bible says this, so F you. And that's just not how the majority of us feel. It's just that those happen to be the, well, I mean, I guess you can quote me. Those happen to be the rednecks that call in. And
well, there's a lot of different people. There's a lot of different people that weigh in on this, Seth. And I do appreciate your call. And I think you're a reasonable man. But there's all kinds of people that involve themselves in a movement. There are some who believe that, as this man, Seth, just said, well, if the Supreme Court holds that it is a constitutional right, then I'm going to go along with that. Well, there are a lot of people that won't. A lot of people will say, well, the Supreme Court's wrong. You know how people feel about the Supreme Court from one day to the next. Either it's an activist bench or it's a bunch of liberals or it's a bunch of conservatives or they're not following the Constitution and they're trying to legislate from the bench. People, as we said at the outset and we said midway, and now we're saying toward the end of the show because it bears repeating, I don't think anybody understands what a Supreme Court judge does. What any judge does. They have to make sure that the law that is being applied here, first of all, that the individual who is redressing a grievance about the law or supporting the law, are their rights under our Constitution, are they being seen to? And that, unfortunately or fortunately, doesn't always fall down on the side of the majority. The majority can rule or vote in a way that sometimes is irrational, is beyond the pale. If we had strict majority rule in this country and nothing but majority rule, and there was nothing that could mitigate that repress an injustice in that feeling, this country would be lost. We'd be lost. All we'd have to do is have a vote that said, this group of people doesn't get this, and this group of people doesn't get this, this group of people does. I mean, on any given day, you know how the electorate goes. We vote a lot of lousy guys into Congress. Come on, don't tell me the will of the people is sacrosanct. It is. I mean, we got to go along with it. But there is one final step that even the majority can't get through if the majority and what they believe in goes against that, and that is the Charter of the United States, our Constitution, which guarantees these rights, these inalienable rights, and even a majority of voters cannot eliminate that. And that's a beautiful thing, if you ask me. Because, again, talk about majority rule, okay, but if we had such great judgment as voters, if we were so bloody smart, then why do we turn around and bitch about every cat that we put in there? 5 minutes ago, I thought the guy was the second coming of Jesus, and now he's just another one of these Bush guys. Look at Obama. What's going on with him, man? All these people that were lighting, you know, candles and blowing up balloons and sucking down the helium and making funny voices and wearing T-shirts and doing music videos. Now Obama, they're saying, is just another, you know, he's a different color George Bush. You ready for that? And if they had to cast their vote again, they'd vote for who? Nader? The guy that called him an Uncle Tom? So people have the right to vote and to do as such and so forth and like that there, right? But we got a thing that says you go this far and you don't get to go any further. Now, along those lines, a jury on Friday found a central Wisconsin mother guilty of killing her 11-year-old daughter by praying for her. They tracked them down. They were on their way to Mexico. The authorities said, you know, you bring that kid back and he gets proper treatment, and good for you if you think that some Native American root or some other groovy-ass thing is going to heal the kid. This isn't, you know, we're not playing games here, okay? Get the kid back here because we've got to make sure that he gets the proper treatment. Let's get into that for just a second here. On CNN, the Hauser family spokesman, a guy by the name of Dan Zwackman, who's also a member of the Nemehe band that promotes natural healing instead of chemo, explains where the Hausers fled to. this past week when they were on the lam.
They were down in California. They went down there on their way to Mexico. They were seeking an alternate treatment, the more natural treatment that is readily available in Mexico that is not available in the United States.
No. All right. Well, anyway, we'll get into more of that story and the story of the lady with the diabetes and what you can get in Mexico, because I happen to know.
Phil Hendry.
I mean, legal stuff, good stuff.
Yeah, sure.
It's the Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show every night until 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, broadcasting here from El Pacifico. And we do that each and every night, Monday through Friday. Our website is philhendryshow.com, and Twitter site is twitter.com/realphilhendry. And we're always putting something smart-ass there. We're always bagging on some of the people that we're Twittering with. Jace just told me that Ali Velshi.
Yeah, Ali, the guy that doesn't have hair.
Well, he's more Ali Velshi. Anyway, he tweeted, so Jason tweeted something back at him, and now there's a threat of lawsuit. No, I'm kidding, but it can get interesting. So join us, won't you? Thank you. All right. Now, where were we? Oh, yeah. So anyway, the kid goes on the lam with the mom. He's got Hodgkin's lymphoma. He's 13. His name's Daniel Hauser. He and his mother missed a court appearance last week. They left the state. Da-doom-da-boom-ba-bim-ba-bim. They found him. They dragged their asses back to Minnesota. They said, hey, guess what? The kid's going to get chemo, whether he likes it or not. Now, here again is Dan Zwackman, who's also a member of the Nemenhan Band that promotes natural healing instead of chemo, and explains where the Hausers fled to this past week.
They were down in California. They went
all
down
right,
there.
That's all we need from you. Now, no, I'm kidding. Here he is.
They were down in California. They went down there on their way to Mexico. They were seeking an alternate treatment, the more natural treatment that is readily available in Mexico that is not available in the United States.
Now, what kind of treatment would that be, sir?
They use naturopath doctors who use more of a natural herbal and such different therapies versus the chemo and the radiation that they do in America.
Well, you sound very conversant with that herbal stuff. Now, here is Zwackman talking about the natural healing method that works on cancer, you know, that herbal stuff.
Well, if a person actually does a study and wants to find out and looks in deep enough into this, you can discover many people who have cured themselves. They've had cancer, they've had none of the traditional Western medicines, and they're completely cured. I can mention five myself right now who I've met fairly recently.
All right, sir. I just want to know, though, is that what you would still recommend for this young boy?
I don't recommend anything for him. He has to make his own decision. I can say that if I was in his shoes, if I myself had cancer,
yes, sir,
I would go the natural way myself.
Sure you would. Yeah, right. You got cancer there, Dan. How about it, man? I got some herbal juice here for you. Are you kidding me, man? Get me Medivac my ass out of here. Come on! Or I got a lawsuit against the Federals, man. You're keeping a Native American on the reservation. You won't let me get proper medical treatment. That's a lawsuit. Don't make me start. What, do you want me to eat peyote or something because you think I'm some dumbass Indian? You're the guy that was pitching the herbal stuff. And knock it off with the herbal, too, okay? I misspoke. Hey, and by the way, and this has been happening recently, especially with this story. Since when does a 13-year-old kid decide anything? What is going on here? I've been hearing this, you know, off and on for years. Well, she's 12. He doesn't decide anything. His mother decides. The father decides. The legal guardians decide. He doesn't decide anything. He doesn't decide whether he gets to wear a bow tie, whether he gets to wear a string tie, whether he may love string ties. He may want to wear a string tie and a Colonel Sanders uniform every day and even grow himself a little goatee and stand around with a cane saying, yep, that's the chicken. And guess what? At the end of the day, he doesn't get to make that decision. His decision? Where did this happen? I've been hearing this, you know. Well, the young boy, ultimately, he makes the hell he does. Let me tell you, if that's the case, boy, I wish that I was a kid today, because all I ever heard, and which I believed, was that I didn't make a move without an adult signing off on it. Could be any adult, just some guy going down the street in a black van. Now then, all right, so they got them back. The kid's going to get chemo. Will it save his life? I don't know. I can guarantee you one thing, though. If the kid dies, they will blame, the caterwauling and the chest beating and the crying and the...
You see what you did with the chemo that did it?
Well, what would you rather have him, the herbal treatment?
Mm-hmm.
Now, if he had the herbal treatment, what do you think? And the kid didn't live either. Well, then they'd say, well, you know, at least he died with a smile on his face or something. I mean, the disingenuous, they talk, a jury found a central Wisconsin mother guilty of killing her 11-year-old daughter by praying for her to heal instead of rushing her to the doctor. Why am I doing these stories? Why do I have any interest in these? I couldn't give a crap one way or the other when a woman took off with the kid. To me, it's a situation where she has custody of the boy, and she's allowed to, I guess, do what she wants to do up to a point. And here's the point. If you're going to kill your kid, you don't get to do that. It doesn't make any difference whether or not he's your kid or not. You don't get to kill him. You don't get to make some decision based upon your religion that puts that individual at risk. This doesn't happen. Not in America, it doesn't. There may be other countries, there may be other places where it's a perfectly acceptable thing. Not here. One of the things that kids get is they get protection under the law, the same as the rest of us, so that we may pursue that life and that liberty and that that happiness, right? Because they're underage and because they are under the protection and the guardianship of a parent, a lot of the decisions in life that they would ordinarily make as adults, they don't get to make. They're not old enough. There's a majority age in this country that we adhere to, which means, aha, now you're 18, go out and get run over by a train for all we care. When you're a kid and you screw up and somebody files a lawsuit, guess who's the one that takes it in the shorts? You got it, mom and dad. The kid doesn't get sued. So they are the ones that are liable legally for a great many things. Criminality isn't one of them, although there are a lot of people who are looking to have that changed. A lot of people feel that the criminal acts of a young person should be directly attributed to the adults that are caring for them. I happen to be one of them. I know it ain't going to happen, but I guarantee you this, man, if we began to make adults criminally responsible for the actions of kids, we would see a drop in juvenile crime like you wouldn't believe. Like you wouldn't believe it. It would stagger you, stun you. Now, here goes mom here in Marathon County. She's in Wisconsin. Her name is Leilani Newman. Oh, that's great.
Well, yeah, what is she, like a Hawaiian or something?
I don't know. Leilani. Anybody with the name Leilani, man. Either that was given to her by a guy named, say, Johnny Appleseed. He changed his name to Johnny Appleseed. It used to be Eddie Rabinowitz. And then he decided he was going to have some kind of a prayer circle. Anyway, Marathon County jury deliberated about 4 hours before convicting Leilani Newman of rural Weston of second-degree reckless homicide. No sentencing date was set. We have another shot on appeal, said the lawyer. Obviously, there will be an appeal. Religious extremism can be dangerous, Marathon County District Attorney Jill Falstad said. Damn right. In this case, it was fatal. Basic medical care could have saved Kara's life. That's the child. Fluids, insulin. There was plenty of time to save this girl's life. Now, the attorney for Newman countered, saying that Newman didn't realize her daughter was so ill and did all she could to help in line with the family's belief in faith healing. He said Newman was a devout Christian who prays about everything and took good care of four children. Religious extremism is a Muslim terrorist, Lynn said. They're saying these parents were so far off the scale that they murdered their child. The woman did everything she could to help her. Bull crap! That's what the state's saying. No, she didn't. No, she did not do everything she could to help her child. No, she didn't. Well, everything within her religion. Well, isn't that nice, man? I tell you what, why don't we give you, here's your gold star for the day. You made, everything within her religion. Isn't that sweet? And what does that mean, man? What does that mean? The kid's dead. So tell me, what is that supposed to mean? It means that she was adhering to her religious freedom. You can't say that she doesn't have... Yes, I can. I can say she doesn't have the right to practice her religion when it endangers somebody's life. No, you do not get to have that. That's where the freedom of religion ends. We got some concept in this country, and it's amazing, and we've been sort of battling over this for the longest time, that religion, freedom, freedom, freedom. Yes, of course it's free, but we've set up a secular government by which... everybody, religious or not, is protected. Now, religion was a big part of the impetus to emigrate to North America, absolutely. But then there were other waves of people. And when we eventually did set up this thing called America, it was not a religious theocracy. We did not have a cleric at the top of the the governmental structure that we created for ourselves. We didn't. This was not informed by religious people. We don't have priests, and we don't have ministers in positions of importance in our government. It doesn't play. That's not what we do. What we did do is set up a government where the people run the show, and we have rights, and one of them is freedom of religion. But what you don't get to do, no religion has the right to endanger someone's safety or well-being. And I hate to do it, because every time you come up with a story like this, somebody's going to get smacked down, and they always scream the same thing. Look at this, we're being repressed because of our religion. Repressed? What the hell are you talking about? You killed a kid. Why don't you wake up? What do you mean repressed? She did everything that she could within her... No, she did not do everything that she could, because we happen to know that with diabetes, there are certain medical treatments and procedures that would save somebody's life. We know this. This is a matter of record. This is a matter of medical doctrine. It's been proven time and again. So no, you didn't do everything that you could. Well, my religion forbids it. Great. So your religion allows you to kill a kid. No, I didn't say that. Oh, bullcrap. Look, man, you go off, and I tell you what you do. Chant to that totem pole or whatever the hell it is you do, because we got to figure this out. We are the ones that are left to decide what the hell to do with your ass. Because your goofball religion is so screwed up, you know, you're chasing your tail, man. We might as well be arguing with an alcoholic. You ever tried doing that? Somebody that's an alky? Man, you're right back to square one within 5 minutes after you thought you nailed down one point. Bang, there you are. You're right back to the same point. It's the same thing with arguing with some of these people who are into their religion. You start off here, you figure you got all of that cleared up, you move on to point B, and they're back to point A again. Sooner or later, somebody's got to make a decision and say, no, you don't get to do that. You can do everything else you want, wear feathers in your head, man. You can walk around in a jock strap. You can paint your face blue. You can wear a trench coat. You can have the Church of Bogart for all I care, but you don't get to kill anybody. Now, that's just the facts, Jack. Thank you, and good night.
Yay!
Knock it off with your smart ass yay. 877-876-PHIL. Let's move on to a phone call before we take our final break of the night. I thought we were going to have, I think tomorrow night we'll have Herb Sewell on the line with us. Here is Joe in Las Vegas. And, Joe, what's on your mind?
Mr. Henry.
Yes.
Earlier, the gentleman that called in who went down to Hollywood with all the protesters.
Uh-huh.
That bothered me a little bit, because he was talking about how the network news was there, lots of news coverage. Well, when we protested on the 15th, I guess as taxpayers, it wasn't newsworthy. Because I was standing out there at the Las Vegas protest, and I was standing there with a couple of my friends who happened to be black as well. And one of them, Jimmy, he said, you know what, I'm going to go talk to the cameras. And when he walked over to speak with the one news crew that was there, they turned off the camera and put it down. And he said, wait a minute, I wanted to talk to you guys. And he said, you know,
I got to ask you something, man. When you say the 15th, you talk about the tea parties. I'm not sure what happened. Was that the tea party day? Okay.
Yes, sir.
All right.
And they told him it wasn't newsworthy. And it's like, well, wait a minute, why are gay rights so much more newsworthy than taxpayer rights?
Let me ask you this. Let me ask you this. Why do you see yourself at odds with gay rights as a taxpayer? A Tea Party protest and the anti-Prop 8 protests seem to be akin to each other, protesting an unfair action by the government.
Yes, and you would think that they would both be treated, you know, equally fairly by the news, and they're just not. You know,
I got to tell you, man, on the Tea Party day, all I did was I saw every time I turned a TV on, there was Tea Party stuff going on. I don't know what you mean.
Yeah,
are you kidding, right?
I mean, it gets near the coverage or near the attention that all this Prop 8 craziness is doing, and I feel...
Why do you say that? Why do you say that?
It seems very discriminatory towards the issues that the news wants to flush to the surface and force people to deal with. And the other issues...
All right, now, you were at a protest. You were at a protest, correct, on the 15th? You were at a tea party on the 15th?
Correct. And the idea of...
All right, how would you know what kind of news was being covered that day unless you had a television set with you?
Because you go home later and you turn it on.
Well, but when it was happening live, I'm telling you, because I was in the studio all day that day, staring at Tea Party things happening on television nonstop.
Well, we couldn't get any attention here whatsoever.
You were in Vegas? Well, the big ones, they went to the ones that had the big crowds. They had the Sacramento one was on, the San Antonio one was on. The big crowd, the ones that had the, how many people were at yours? Like what? How many would you say were there?
A couple thousand, maybe.
Yeah, see, they wanted ones that had the 10,000 number on up. And so that's what I saw. But I would dare say that you're mistaken when you say that the Tea Parties weren't getting coverage, man. It was a huge thing. It was a contretemps on a number of levels, the way reporters were covering it, the way they weren't recovering it, you know, with the networks, the way they were dealing with it. Rick Perry and his, you know, statements. Are you saying that the coverage wasn't respectful of the Tea Parties? Is that what you're saying, or enough?
It just seemed very discounted, very brushed under the carpet. I mean, the point was, you know, we just didn't want rampant spending with our future money. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in this case, for some reason or another, I mean, I have heard so much coverage about, you know, Prop 8 and the decision's coming and today's the day of the decision and now here's the decision and, boy, last hour was the decision and earlier today was the decision and now, you know, everybody's marching. And it's like, you know, I feel for them, but I don't think as an issue that that should be so much more dominating than issues that affect us all.
This may be at the heart of what's so often wrong with humans and the way that we relate, because everything that you just said about the anti-Prop 8 protests, I could equally apply to the Tea Parties. I heard it promoted for a solid month leading up to it. I was getting emails on it. I was looking at it on TV, the Tea Parties. We had people on. We interviewed them. It was a big, I mean, I don't think there's anybody listening right now that would agree with you when you say that it was not well promoted or visible prior to the event.
Well,
it was enormous.
It's possible I missed a lot of it, but you can't miss all this stuff going on with Proposition 8. It's everywhere I turn. And
all right,
and
brother, I appreciate your phone call. I got to take a break. I appreciate your call very much, sir. Although I just don't see it, man.
Phil Hendry. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
And time now for the stories that we couldn't get to tonight, but we're getting to them right now for you here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Dateline Germany. Germany's considering a nationwide ban on the high-energy drink Red Bull Cola after traces of cocaine were found in it. And it never made its way over here. Authorities in the states of Hesse and the North Rhine-Westphalia have ordered retailers to stop selling the beverage, which is available in the United Kingdom. The consumer ministries in the two states confirmed that they'd ordered retailers to pull the drink off their shelves after a Food Safety Institute in North Rhine-Westphalia found drugs in samples. The institute examined Red Bull Cola in an elaborate chemical process and found traces of cocaine, said Bernard Kuhnle, who is the head of the Food Safety Department at the Federal Ministry for Consumer Protection. Authorities said the cocaine levels do not pose a health threat, but are not permitted in foodstuffs. The investigation found the drink to contain a decocainized extract of coca leaf in the drink. That means the drink cannot be classified as a foodstuff, but as a narcotic and needs a special license. So give them a license. Anyway, giant German retail group Ruhe had already issued orders to remove the fizzy drink from its shops. Wilhelm Dietermann, spokesman for the North Rhine-Westphalia Consumer Ministry, said he expected most, if not all, other German states to follow suit and ban the drink. Red Bull Cola has protested the action. Decocainized extract of coca leaf is used worldwide in foods as a natural flavoring, said a spokesman. Is any of that stuff around here?
Yeah, I'll look for it.
I don't think I've ever heard of Red Bull Cola, but then that's... I don't drink Red Bull, man. I drink that Starbucks energy stuff. Anyway, the lawsuit Zeus, also known as Johnny Tsunami, filed a lawsuit this week in federal court seeking an injunction to stop the Guinness Book of World Records from naming him as the person who has filed the most lawsuits in the history of mankind. Jonathan Lee Riches, a.k.a. Irving Picard, filed the latest Wait a minute. Lawsuit Zeus, Johnny Tsunami, Jonathan Lee Riches, and Irving Picard filed his latest legal fight this week in the Richland office of the U.S. District Court for the Eastern District of Washington, although he is incarcerated in the Federal Medical Center in Lexington, Kentucky. Yeah, I'll bet. This guy's in a Guinness Book of Records, and they got this cat under lock and key at the Nut Bin in Lexington. Rich alleges that Guinness is planning to print false information about the number of lawsuits he's filed, which he says is more than 4,000 worldwide, and he objects to the name Guinness intends to call him, including, quote, the litigator crusader, the Duke of Lawsuits, Johnny Tsunami, Superman, and the Patrick Ewing of suing. I filed so many lawsuits with my pen and right hand that I have arthritis in my fingers.
Phil Hendry.
He said...